podcast, The Nerdy Web Council.
All right, we are back after our unusually long wait. I apologize for that. We've been busy. And Glumpuddle has been busy as well. So we're going to talk about some of the news today, and we're going to first highlight Glumpuddle's big adventure. Glumpuddle, want to tell us where you've been?
Where have I been? Oh, yeah, that's right. I've been to Narnia, that's all. which was the basically the greatest week of my life. It just happened last month, and I've been touring the set of Prince Caspian, or I did for 2 days. And for the past 7 weeks or so, I've been about to explode wanting to shout the news onto the internet, but I've been sworn to secrecy. So the past week, when I've finally been able to talk about it, it just felt like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, and I was your air hole for a while, where you got to just talk to me about some of the stuff, because we were talking about how we can't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Of course, then you passed your insatiable urges on to me to tell everybody, and I had to resist.
Yes.
So it was rather horrible, but
I apologize for doing that, Rillian.
Yeah,
no,
well,
I'm just
forget
kidding.
Yeah, you're not sorry at all, you sicko Glumpuddle. Well, yeah, first give us a highlight of some of the things you did and what your trip entailed, kind of as an outline.
Okay. Oh, right now?
Yeah, anytime.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, first off, I got to do this with five or six other writers, online writers from around the world. And that was really cool to, you know, meet someone actually from comingsoon.net. I met the person who actually owns Rotten Tomatoes. You know, that was cool. And it was cool to see people who are, you know, really into movies like me. Of course, none of them were huge Narnia fans. So at times, I was obviously the most excited of the group. But I think what I want to do now is give you kind of something that I don't have in my report, which is an outline of my trip chronologically.
Okay.
Well, I got the Tyrion contacted me about the middle of May and said that, you know, he asked me if I was interested, and of course I was. And there was one startling moment where I thought I might not be able to go, but fortunately I made it. And it was... I was totally jet lagged when I got there. The night before, I hardly got any sleep. Number one, because I was just so excited about the next day, and just absolutely could not get to sleep. And I felt a little sick when we woke up the next day. But as soon as we walked onto Baron Dove Studios, my energy immediately surged back to me. And the first set they took us to was the Dancing Lawn, which is an indoor stage, even though it's a forest, which is pretty bizarre to actually see it. And then they took us over to a place where it was a stage where they were converting a set called the Great Hall. They were converting it to some stables. And then right over the next room, there was the interior of Aslan's How. And apparently this room is being used for all different parts of the inside of Aslan's How. Unfortunately, they didn't have... I was told that if we'd just been there a little bit earlier, we would have seen the stone table. But we didn't get to see that, unfortunately. But then the next set they took us to was by far the most impressive. It was the Telmarine Courtyard. It's just incredible set. Like, I asked one of the writers when we were leaving, I said, "No, this is my first set visit, so you got to tell me, is this a big deal or are all movie sets this big?" And she said, "This is absolutely the biggest set I've ever seen." So that was definitely really, really special to see. Then they took us over and we looked at the costume shop, which everybody... It wasn't. They told us it wasn't that busy because everybody was at the Ustie location filming something else. But we did get to see some really cool costumes, and Kimberly Adams, the associate costume designer, showed us around a little bit. And then from there, I think, where did we go after that?
You're asking me.
I was not sure if you do. After that, they drove us to the Ustie location where we had lunch. And it was strange because I walked out of having lunch and I was looking for one of the Disney executives that had came with us, and I was looking around, and I turn around, and out of nowhere, William Mosley was right in front of me. No warning. There was no like, oh, this is William. It just bang, there he is, right in front of me. So that was a little startling. And we weren't even supposed to meet him until the next day, but the schedule got changed around because the weather was bad. And there was no like kind of emotional buildup. It's like bang, here's William. And I didn't even realize who he was until I shook his hand because it was so startling. But he definitely, when I said I was from Narnia, I began with, oh, cool. He definitely recognized Narnia Web. That was pretty neat. And after that, they took us. The place we have lunch was in this giant, giant tent for the whole crew. And the bizarre thing was, some people were in costume and some people weren't. That was a little weird. And but they took us to the back of the tent, which I thought was the very back. I don't think there was anything beyond that. I guess you could say it was walking through the wardrobe, because we walked through this little flap, and I'm thinking we're going to be outside, when in fact there's this huge other room, like twice the size of that one, full of armor and costumes and creatures getting ready, and unbelievable, just out of nowhere, the scale of it. And then Isis Musinda, the costume designer, showed us around for a little bit, and she was really, she was just so incredibly, one of the most enthusiastic people I talked to, and she gets so passionate about talking about all the little details and everything. That was awesome. We actually got to see, which one was it? We got to see the actor playing Lord Stingley. We got to see him getting ready, that new character they've got. We got to see him. They were putting his armor on, putting the
Oh.
finishing touches on. That was really neat. And after that, it was
What does he look
time.
like? So I could ask.
What does he look like?
Yeah.
What does the actor look
The
like?
character. What's he gonna? I mean, is he supposed to be old or young or?
Yeah, he's definitely older,
Oh,
and he
okay.
has all the Telmarines have like black beards, and so yeah, and so yeah, if I remember correctly, he had kind of a short, pointed black beard. I think most of the Telmarines kind of have that. And then we went from there to the exterior of Aslan's How, which is another incredible set. The top of it had blue screen because they're going to make it bigger in post-production. And we didn't actually see any filming that day. We came back to it the next day. So we just saw it for a while, and then we left. And we came back the next day. We went straight there in the morning to the Aslan's How location where they were filming. And actually, and first off, I want to say they did a really good job casting Skander Kane's double, because when I walked past him, I thought, oh, cool, Skander Kane's. And then I saw him again later, and goes, oh, wait, that's not him.
Huh.
So they did a good job casting that. And I got to see them filming, as I describe a little bit in my report, that filming a scene where Edmund and Peter are walking out, presumably to meet Miraz before the duel. And that was really incredible to actually see them filming a scene that's going to be in the movie. And also really bizarre to see so many. I mean, you hear all the time about people will say, oh, it's really unusual to see all the green screen and everything. But when you're actually there, it's so strange to see, because some of the
Huh.
creatures look pretty nice, like the Minotaurs, but then there's the Centaurs, and it just looks so bizarre, like sort of these people in green pants mixed in with all these other mythological creatures, and it's so, you don't really know what you're looking at exactly.
Now, didn't you tell me
And
they
then,
had what was the music they had playing? You said something about that.
yes, the actors, just a few weeks before we got there, had the idea to play music during the takes, which sounds very strange. But so they played, the one I remember for sure is they played Eye of the Tiger on most of the takes, just the beginning of it, to kind of set the pace. And I think Willie Mosley said they were actually going to play that during the duel when they were going to film it. So one of the writers joked that he
I'll
thought
put it
they
in the
should have an.
podcast.
Yeah. One of the writers actually joked that he thought they should have an optional audio track on the DVD where you can listen to that music with that scene. But every time I hear that music from now on, I'm going to associate it with that scene inevitably. But during we spent most of the day waiting for the sun, which is really, I could tell, really frustrating for the crew. And in between takes, Skander Kean's came over and he talked to us for a little bit. And he only got to talk to us for about 5 minutes, and he had to run back to finish the shoot. And let's see. Oh, I'm trying to think of some cool things I saw. Oh, there's a possibility. Everybody was really stressing out about not stepping on the grass. I guess it's for might be for continuity, or I don't know if it's an environmental issue or what. but they had this path and you had to walk on the path, or if you step on the grass, they would get mad.
Oh
So,
yeah. Well, if you walk, I have a bunch of people walking on grass, then it's just you can just tell after a while if there's been a crowd of people there. But
yeah.
snow is the nightmare.
Yeah, I bet. And so a couple of us forgot that. We were trying to get a good look at the shot. And so we wandered out just a few steps onto the grass to watch a shot. And then out of nowhere, I hear Casey, the assistant director, go, "Hey, grass killers, get off!" And so, and I, th there was a guy who was filming footage for the DVD. He was there. And so it is just possible that I will be on the DVD being called a grass killer, which, of course, would be a tremendous honor.
Oh yeah,
And,
definitely. Grass Killer of Narnia.
grass killer. Yeah, I'll have to get a new screen name or something. It's grass
True
killer.
Telmarine.
Yes. But I'm trying to think of some other cool things I saw. I saw in between takes, I saw William Moseley practicing the sword fight with a stunt guy, even though a lot of it is going to be done with Sergio Castellitto, the actual actor. He was rehearsing it with a stunt guy, but he's actually rehearsing it.
Oh, I wish I could have seen
Yeah,
that.
he was actually rehearsing it without swords. They were just kind of miming it with invisible swords, and they weren't going full speed. They were just kind of going slowly, and because they he couldn't really get into it in between takes. And it was really strange, and it's kind of opened my eyes to another skill an actor has to have, which is to just be able to get into the moment at a moment's notice, because they'd have to wait as soon as the sun would come out. You know, they would shout, "Okay, let's shoot, let's go, let's go." There was no like, "Okay, are you ready, William?" It was just, "Let's go." And sometimes, most of the time, the actors would just sit and wait at their first position for several minutes before the sun came out. Other times, maybe William would be talking to Andrew Adamson. They'd be having a discussion, and then the sun would unexpectedly come out, and so they would have to literally run back to their first position and start filming like that. And
Wow.
so that was really incredible. They just, in a few seconds, they'd go from William Moseley to Peter, just like that, just to get back into the emotional mood. And let's see. Oh, there was someone on set who she was part of the makeup team, and she saw my Narnia Web shirt. And she goes, "Oh yeah, I visit Narnia Web all the time." And she asked to see the back of my shirt, so that was really cool. And then later, here's a funny story. They were taking pictures, I think for continuity, and they were looking at them. And I heard one of them make a joke, "Oh, we should put these on Narnia Web," and they kind of laughed about it. So it was cool to hear Narnia Web mentioned a couple times on the set.
Cool.
And that was definitely then after the day was over. Well, the day wasn't over actually. We only saw them shooting the scenes, the shot of basically just the Narnian side of it. And when we left, they were getting ready to point the cameras in the other direction to shoot the Telmarine side of it.
Okay.
And so that was definitely after the so after they were done with their shots, we got Andrew Adamson for about 5 or 6 minutes, which was obviously the highlight interview of the trip. And so that was really cool. And then we went in and let's see. Actually, in the middle of that shot, we took a break, and that's when we talked to, let's see, we talked to Ben Barnes, and which is awesome to actually see him and talk to him, because I'd only ever seen a few pictures of him.
And you told me a little while ago that your impressions of him have, that you think he's going to be a much better Caspian now that you have actually met him.
We'll talk about that in the report when it comes out,
Oh, see,
but.
that's why I'm jumping ahead. That's why I can't talk about it.
Yeah. But let's see. Richard Taylor was amazing to talk to. He's just so mo one of the things I found with Richard Taylor is that most of the time what happens is Ernie Mag, the publicist, would have to say, "Okay guys, one more question and then we're going to let this guy go." But Richard Ernie Mag had to actually call Richard and say, "Okay, we have to go, so you better stop talking soon." Because he was so enthusiastic, and he would have just talked for days if we hadn't stopped him. And so that was definitely one of my most enjoyable interviews to listen to. And he can just talk about the most, like, oh, the materials they make, such kind of things you would think would be boring. It's just the materials they make the miniatures out of. And he just, his eyes light up and he gets so excited. And so that was one of the cool things. And let's see. So that was definitely one of the highlights. And but without a doubt, just getting to visit the set of Narnia was truly a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I can't even think of the words to express what it was like to actually be there. So this really was a dream come true, obviously, for a fan. And just if you'd have told me I was going to go to the set of any big movie, I'd be really excited. Like, wow, that'd be incredible. I'm really passionate about films and filmmaking, and that'd be awesome. But the fact that it's Narnia just multiplied it 100 times. And it was one of the, I think, I'm going to say it was the two greatest days of my life, quite literally, when I was on set. And I feel a tremendous sense of responsibility with writing a report, and that, getting to do something that so many Narnia webbers would give their right arm to be able to do. And so I feel a sense of responsibility to try to report it, make the report as detailed and accurate as possible.
Well, we're glad that you were the one that got to go. You were definitely the man for the job.
Well, thank
Now,
you.
oh, you're welcome. Now, there was something you mentioned a discussion in the forums, and you wanted to address it briefly.
Well, there's a couple parts of my report that I knew would were going to cause a lot of discussion, and one of them is Andrew Adamson mentions, in his interview, that they recently shot a very intense argument. That's what he calls it, a very intense argument between Caspian and Peter, and there's all kinds of speculation. And this seems to be consistent with what we heard about in another production blog, where they talked about there being some tension between all these kings and queens in the room. And so there's all kinds of speculation about what they could be arguing about. The general, I think, the thing that people are guessing is that it has to do with Caspian wanting to fight Miraz and Peter wanting to fight Miraz and them arguing over that. So it'll be, which isn't, even though this, I have been given this a lot of thought, and I'm not quite sure how I feel about it. We don't even know what the argument is about. All we know is what Adamson said. And the only thing that I would be worried about is that Caspian has to have this awe, the sense of awe about Peter and all the Pevensies, because that's one of the main themes of Prince Caspian. And the thing that makes it so interesting is that it's the ancient past coming back to help the present. And it's these characters that exist in bedtime stories, basically, that no one even, few people even believe they exist. And now here they are in the flesh. And just sort of, how would we feel if, someone
Like King Arthur.
from, yeah, exactly, like he says in the book. And so it's important that Caspian keep this awe and respect for Peter. And I'm not sure how they're going to do that if he's arguing with him, but we'll have to wait and see how they do it in the film. I don't suppose it's a complete. I mean, there's definitely, it talks about in the book where, when they're being defeated and their tempers are short and there's some, the morale is really low and people are, and there is some arguing, I think, among the Narnians. And so this doesn't seem like a huge departure from the book necessarily. I am just worried about how it's going to affect Caspian's relationship with Peter. And I think because of the theme of the story, it's really important to keep Caspian's awe and respect of Peter, but we'll have to wait and see how it looks in the film.
Yeah, I think it's definitely kind of shaky territory. I would just generally be kind of against any kind of what were the words again? Intense argument?
He just called it a very intense argument.
Very intense argument between Peter and Caspian. I think it, like I said, it could be handled very well or it could be handled very poorly, and it'll probably be all right. I mean, they had as just as an example, before the Battle of Helm's Deep, they had Legolas and Aragorn in an argument, and I don't think it was really all that contrary to the book or to the characters, especially since it was reconciled, and it's not like, oh yeah, these are just two characters that are always at each other's throats. So if it's
Yeah.
reconciled, I don't think it'll be a huge problem. And I expected this kind of thing to occur, and I'm I look forward to creative ways to flesh out the characters, especially in this dynamic of having two kings there. But again, it has to be handled within the character of Caspian in the book of being completely in awe of Peter, like you said.
Right. And we know, so all we know is he said it's a very intense argument. I have no idea what it's about or where it takes place or any of that. But it's interesting. A couple of people have pointed at Storyboard. They came out in a production blog where it's a boy kicking another boy and wondering, could this be the very intense argument of, Peter kicking Caspian in the chest or something? So hopefully it won't get that intense.
I don't think so. Most of the, especially since most of the storyboards have been from the period of time when Caspian is leaving the castle and running away.
Right.
So I don't think it's going to be a brawl between Peter and Caspian. But hey, they did have the Rocky music playing, so who am
Yeah,
I
so
to
who knows?
say?
So you never know.
Well, is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
On my report, I tried to be as detailed as possible, so I'm not sure there's much more I can say that you can't read in my report.
And there's more to come.
Definitely. I mean, there's a couple, a lot of the most exciting things that people picked up on, just that I got excited about, is first off that the Bulgy Bear is going to be in the movie. And there's some reason to believe he's going to actually suck his paws, which is awesome. And
Score.
right, and there's the werewolf is going to be in the movie. Wimbleweather is going to be in the movie. And so even though it looks like they're making some big changes, which we'll discuss in future reports, some of those little things, it's kind of like what the blue bottle and the mothballs were in the first movie. Some of those little things are going to be in there, which even though they're little, they're much appreciated. And I think that's something that the other writers, of course, aren't going to mention in their reports, because only diehard Narnia fans are going to care about something like that. They probably didn't even notice that the bulgy bear sucking his paws thing. So I think that's where, I've tried to like put whole paragraphs on that in my report, because I know that this is Narnia Web, and only Narnia fans in particular, are going to care about stuff like that.
Well, yeah, and that and some
Oh,
updates.
there's also, I'm sorry, there's also some really cool concept art that's included in my report that people should take a look at. Really neat.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, we've got a little bit of other stuff I want to discuss. For one thing, we know that they are filming in Slovenia now, which I do believe, just if you want to get kind of a recent look of it. I think that is where the movie Aragon was filmed. And without saying too much about the film itself, I did think that the locations were absolutely amazing in the film. And I was wondering, this is almost like it's off of another planet. I had no idea that places like this existed. So, if you want to, if you ever saw the movie Aragon, that is Slovenia, to the best of my knowledge. And we have some pictures of the bridge, presumably the one that is going to be torn down at the end of the film. And Glumpuddle, what do you think of it? Since we've actually got some pretty good pictures up online.
Yes, all I can say about the pictures, first off, is that whatever they're doing to protect that set is not working, because we've gotten pictures from like every imaginable angle. We've gotten so many pictures too.
Even some
But
helicopter shots it looked like.
yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there. I guess it's just must be a really difficult location to keep secret, I suppose. But the bridge, like a lot of things in Narnia, looks a lot bigger than I imagined it. A lot of things in the movies, but I think it's a really cool design. I kind of like the sort of the crisscross of it, almost like the river's being held back. I mean, like sort of a prison kind of look, almost. I mean, maybe no one else noticed that but me. But we also get some really nice looks at the Telmarine armor, and I'm definitely going to talk a lot about the Telmarine armor in my report. So I'm glad to be able to actually show people. The pressure is kind of off me now a little bit, that I can show people a picture and say, here's what it looks like, instead of having to really worry about describing everything in great detail. I can now show people a picture, and then they've got some reference point when they're reading my report. So I'm really glad that these pictures are on the internet.
Yeah, I didn't imagine the bridge to be as long or the river to be as wide, but that's actually almost exactly how I imagined it when I read the book. I just thought, oh my goodness, this looks just like the kind of bridge where river god could just reach up and start pulling the pillars
Yeah.
down. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is just great. So Plus, I love the fact that it is a whole bridge and they're going for a large set there, which gives it a sense of authenticity that is sometimes lost when people cheat to save money. And I remember in the commentary for the first film, when Andrew Adamson was filming the scene with the children entering the professor's house, he did not have the entire room built, just basically the floor and two sides of it were built. And he said he really regretted that because it really restricted him from getting certain angles that would have made the scene more interesting. So I'm just glad that they, again, have the budget to be able to do these kinds of things to do the world justice.
Yeah, and they're definitely building, and I can certainly say this, they're definitely building bigger sets this time around than the last film. The cost of construction where they're building, like I said in my report, is relatively low, so they can build bigger sets. And they're definitely, like, the Telmarine Courtyard, I'm going to talk, man, I can't wait to talk about that,
Oh, yeah.
is the Telmarine Courtyard. And one of the writers actually said, couldn't you have just done this in sections instead of building this whole massive, 360-degree set? And they said, well, we just want to make sure that when Adamson gets on set, he can point his camera wherever he wants, and he doesn't have to worry about, like planning every shot in detail. If something changes, they're good. And it also gives it this realism as well. And so I'm definitely looking forward to the sets. There were a lot of the sets, even like the snow sets in the first film, I thought felt a little bit confined, and because they were, shooting in New Zealand where they don't have a lot of big sound stages. So I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the bigger sets in this film and see how they look in the finished film.
Yeah. Well, is that I think that's about all I had for the set there. How about you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, well, there's one more big thing I want to talk about, and that is the video game trailer, which was released, and we'll have more stuff coming up on the hopefully on the real film with Comic-Con coming up this weekend. Of course, I say this weekend on Friday and the 27th. So depending on how quickly I get this edited, it may be last weekend, in which we will do another podcast as quick as possible. But we did have a video game trailer released, and it was brief, really a teaser, but it showed a little bit of stuff. And Glenpuddle, is there anything there that stood out to you that you liked or didn't like? What do you think?
Well, first off, it's really strange to be getting a video game trailer before we even get the real trailer, and it's just under a year now to go until that movie comes out, and we're getting a look at the video game. That's pretty unusual, and that's a new experience for me, and so I'm not quite sure how to judge this trailer. I mean, I played and beat the first video game, and I know that there are obviously some huge differences between the video game and the movie, and so we can't be too critical of the trailer. I think the only thing we can look for in this trailer is to get a sense of how the general design of the film, but that's all. But the thing that captured my attention the most, I would say, is that there's a shot of ships approaching a castle, which is unusual because the Telmarines, of course, are fear the sea, and so you got to wonder where these ships are coming from. Maybe there's some kind of Dawn Treader, maybe like shows like the Seven Lords leaving in a flashback or something. I don't know. I mean, so that was unusual. And once again, because it's the video game, I'm not really sure how closely I should be analyzing it. And so it's a new experience for me to be seeing a trailer for the video game, less just under a year before the movie comes out.
Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because again, you visited the set. Was in the trailer, game trailer, it looked like there was a battle going on in the castle of Caraparavel. Because I
Yeah,
looked.
people have talked about that. People have suggested that maybe it's a flashback or something. The book doesn't really go into detail about how the Telmarines took over. And I mean, yeah, because that there was, we know that, Caspian the Conqueror came, and there supposedly was a battle, and so maybe there's going to be a flashback back to that or something, or maybe this is just something that's only in the video game.
Yeah.
And but I'll be very It'll be very cool to see the movie and then come back and look at this video game trailer and figure out, which parts should have caught my attention and which parts should not have. And so that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. Did we, now, there was a giant in the trailer. Do you think maybe that, do you know at all if that was maybe a kind of concept from Wimbleweather and
Yeah,
his?
that I did see some concept of Wimbleweather, and I do believe that's him,
Okay.
if I remember correctly. But don't quote me on that necessarily, because
What do you mean, don't quote you? You're on a podcast. Come
well, but
on.
I mean, don't like hold me to my word on that one,
Okay,
because
okay.
I don't know what he's gonna look like in the final film,
You are
but
going to be
I would.
quoting yourself in this podcast.
Yes.
Okay, well, we kind of addressed it a little bit earlier, but the production blog, there's actually, I think, a part one and part two on the fifth one on drawing Prince Caspian. What do you think of just some of the stuff that they've brought up in the concept for the characters in artistic forms and things?
Oh, the storyboards, like the video game trailer, I think it's difficult to know how to read into them exactly, because a storyboard artist is not worrying isn't really worried so much about trying to get the design right. It's more
Yeah.
about trying to get the action right, and so it's difficult to know how to judge these. There's one shot where it looks like Caspian, or perhaps Susan, I don't know, with an arrow going right over their head, hitting the tree behind them. Then there's a note. It says bends down to drink with an arrow, so we can assume that maybe Caspian or whoever it is bends down to drink right in time, and the arrow goes over their head. And so it's we're just getting these storyboards kind of give us flashes of random moments and very little things, and trying to figure out how it all fits together is kind of interesting and leads to a lot of cool threads. But the unique thing about being able to see storyboards instead of pictures is that it just kind of tells you what's going to happen, and you can't really look too much. You can't scrutinize the design of the characters too much, because once again they're emphasizing action, not design. And
Yeah.
so that's another new experience for me. I can't remember seeing storyboards before this far before even seeing a trailer. And so once again, it'll be cool to see the final film and figure out what all this stuff meant.
Looking at the storyboards, I get the feeling that it's kind of confirmed a suspicion I had really from the get-go, and that is that they will make the chase or the pursuit of Prince Caspian into the forest more involved and more close with the pursuers. And do you think that's a safe assumption to make looking at these storyboards?
Yes, I would. I think that's I would be based on everything we've seen, and some implications I have on the set that I can't go into. I would say that's a safe assumption that they're making more of a they're definitely expanding majorly on Caspian fleeing the castle.
Okay, and well, that's quite a bit of stuff that's been happening. And to top it all off, their whole web page has actually gotten a new makeover. And Glumpuddle wanted to talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah, I've been working on that for a long time, and different ideas, and I really like it. And just a new look, and I think it's easier to get around the site now. And another thing we've put out, and we've been working on these for months and months, and trying. We've been working on Narnia character profiles, which is an idea I had a long, long time ago, and only a while ago actually voiced it to the staff. And so we've been working on it, and and the reason it takes so long is we take them very seriously as far as them being accurate. We don't want to, because we want them to be, besides just being enjoyable reads, a good resource for forum members, just a good handy reference. And so we take accuracy really seriously, and we scrutinize everything we write really closely. So that's why it takes so long to write. But right now, we're looking to get feedback. We put out 11, I think it is, and we're looking to get feedback on how we can improve them before we spend a bunch of time on the rest. And so we're looking to get a lot of feedback on them right now. And you can, if you go to the Narnia Web homepage, right now there's a link Near the top center of the page, it just says check out our new Narnia character profiles. It's above the MySpace link. Or you can scroll down the left under where it says what's inside. There's a link that says character profiles. And then there's a link on that page to a forum where you can post your thoughts. So we want to get feedback on these, and I think this could be something really cool for Narnia Web if they work out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll have our members check that out. And again, check out the forums for discussion on Bumpuddle's exclusive report. Not quite exclusive.
Exclusive.
Not quite exclusive. You had a couple other guys there with you.
Well, I guess it's kind of exclusive because the only place you can find my report is on Narnia Web,
Well,
so
that's
my
true.
report is exclusive at
It is
least.
exclusive to Narnia Web, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, Glumpuddle, glad to have you back in the States. Thank you so much for
Yes.
joining us.
Well, I can't say I'm glad to be back in the States necessarily. I
Well,
would have
we're glad to
rather.
have you back. We missed you.
Yeah, I would
Plus,
have rather stayed there a while.
we were just growing more and more envious and feeling guilty
Yeah.
for not going because you were going and we just, couldn't take it anymore, so.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, one of the things, like, as I was there, I felt a lot of pressure to try to, like, be on my best behavior, like, to try to do a good job and everything, because maybe if, well, basically, the only way I guess I think to put it, if Disney likes us, maybe they'll invite us back for the next movie, but, we'll see what happens with that.
Well, you sure liked them.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining
Definitely.
us, Glumpuddle.
Okay, thank you, really.
If anyone would like to email Glumpuddle with their thoughts, they can email glumpuddle@narniweb.com. Or if you want to email me about the podcast or about anything else, or if you have a question you would like addressed on the podcast, email rillian@narniweb.com. Again, visit the website and check out our new layout as well as the character profiles. And as promised, here in closing is the music Eye of the Tiger from Rocky III. Until next time, I'm your host, Rillian. Thanks for listening.